Really, it's not a sermon. It's kind of a Bible study. I don't know what the difference is. Sermons sound cuter, but I wanted to kind of preach a message tonight. But the Lord just had something very simple, and He wanted, and He wins. So I guess He knows better than me. So, I'm actually not going to read a big passage tonight, but we'll turn to a lot of other verses. And I don't even get a title for the message. It's just a passage. It's Ephesians 4, 29 through 32. That's the title of my message tonight. And so it'll be a little bit different type of message, but I feel like it's what the Lord would have for us. Ephesians 4. And why don't we read these verses together? Because there's only four of them. Let's read. Ready? Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Let's have a word of prayer. We'll talk about this passage. And Father, we thank you for the word of God. Lord, if we just read those verses and paid attention, Lord, we just received a blessing from your word, Father, and we're spoken to. And the entrance of thy word giveth light. Lord, your word keeps us from sinning against you. It sanctifies us. Sanctify them through thy word, through thy truth. Thy word is truth. It pierces us in Hebrews 4. Lord, it does many things for us, and your word's enough, Father, and we thank you for it, Lord, but you also have a message, and you've sent forth prophets and teachers and pastors and people to preach your word through the ages, Father, and we pray tonight that you would speak, and I pray that the Holy Spirit would be in control, and that I wouldn't, Father, say anything you wouldn't want said, and would just say it exactly the way you'd have it said. It's your message, Father, and I want you to have said what you want said, and I pray your Spirit would take control and help us to be change and get the lessons we have for tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm going to go a little bit backwards. I'm going to go back to verse 29 in a minute. It talks about our tongue, and I want to spend most of the time on that. But just in the context here, verse 30, it says, after it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, use your tongue wisely, and minister grace to hearers. It says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Ephesians 1 says we are sealed with the Spirit of God. It says we are not supposed to grieve the Spirit of God. I think that's such a simple statement, just grieve not the Spirit of God. But grieving the Holy Spirit is something we do, I know I do, way, way, way too often. And I think it's a sad thing, and I think it's a strange thing, that we can actually hurt God's feelings. You would think God's just so indestructible and unchanging. And yet you see all of the scripture. For example, the word grieve is used in Genesis where it says, it grieved God at his heart that he had made man. It grieved God at his heart. And we are not supposed to grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who dwells in you, the one who speaks to you, the one who does the work of Christ now on earth and speaks through you. And the Holy Spirit, it says we are not supposed to grieve that Spirit. I think the easiest way to understand that is, I think it's easier if you're a parent, but what is grieving exactly, grieving the Spirit of God? Well, think of, in your life, someone who grieves you. What does grieve mean? It means it causes you grief. Think of that person or persons in your life that just make you go, Now, don't look at anybody in the room right now or nudge anybody, but hopefully that's not your spouse. Hopefully it's not me. You're all looking at me right now. Hopefully it's not somebody here today. But certain people in your life, you ever have to see somebody coming and you just go, oh, no. Thank God for this wonderful thing that came out a few years ago called caller ID. Isn't that a wonderful creation? No, I never use it. But I want everybody's call. But caller ID, because some people, oh, man, they just wear you out. And they grieve you. And when you talk to them, it is like they took all, you were all, it's a great day, praise the Lord. And it's like they had a joy vacuum. Oh. And they grieve you and they make you, and it's usually people who repetitiously do the things that irritate you. It's not one thing. I can handle one time of anything. But it's over and over and over and over. The same thing over and over. And they grieve you. Matter of fact, I don't want to preach that. I just want to complain. It grieves you and you get very grieved. The Bible says you are not supposed to make the Holy Spirit say, ah. Because you know what? I think we do stuff against the Holy Spirit over and over and over and over and over. I mean, how many times did he tell us to go witness to somebody and tell us to, like that kid right there running across the room, it grieves me. Whose kid is that? The Holy Spirit tells us to go witness to somebody, we don't do it. We have the same sin in our life for week after week, month after month, and the Holy Spirit says, I've been speaking to you and I'm getting frustrated. It says, don't do that, the Holy Spirit. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. Do you know you make God feel like so-and-so makes you feel? And God has the power to zap you, which fortunately you don't have, or you would have used it by now. God says, do not grieve my Spirit. Don't frustrate the grace of God, the Bible says. And it says, grieve not the Spirit of God, whereby we are sealed unto the day of redemption. We have this wonderful person inside of us. We should not grieve it, but the Holy Spirit should say, I am so glad that you're under my control and I'm able to use you and you're able to be a blessing to people. And that's important. Verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So in this chapter of Ephesians 4, it talks about putting off and putting on. You put off this thing. Tonight we were loading the piano in the that goes in the coffin over here. And Josiah and I are trying to load it, and it doesn't fit very good in the door and up into the shuttle. And I decided to stand on top of a wood pile to try to get the angle right. Standing on top of a wood pile with that big thing and my son on the other side and changing things, I took a spill. Say, aww, thank you. And otherwise I'd be grieved. But I took this spill, and my nice suit that was this color is not that color anymore. And so I switched suit jackets. And you know what? I put that suit jacket off because it was dirty and put on this suit jacket, which is it's black, so it's always dirty. And I put this suit jacket on because I put off the old one that was dirty and put on the new one. And in this chapter of Ephesians 4, keeps saying, put off and put on, put off and put on. It says in verse 22, put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt. Your old man is corrupt. Verse 24, that you put on the new man. And so you're supposed to take things off and put things on in this chapter. And it says in verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. With all malice. All the anger and malice you have towards people, wanting to hurt people and wanting to get back at people. And you know what? There's not a ton of violent people, but there is a whole bunch of people with malice intent towards people right now. Man, you know how many people have a grudge against somebody and want to get them? It is amazing. Churches are full of people who want to get somebody. I mean, everybody's got an ex-wife or an old boyfriend or your neighbor or whoever, and you can't stand them and you want to get them. It says, put that away from you. With all malice. Malice is that intent to hurt. And not only put that away, but be kind one to another. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. With all the anger issues we have, I think our anger issues are big for a lot of reasons. But I think one of the biggest reasons is our psychology of today. Our psychology of today constantly goes back to the past and constantly wants you to revisit everything and wants you to remember this and think about this. And everybody has got a beef against somebody, and everybody's got something against somebody. And people are so often going back and living, reliving things that make them angry and going back, and they get so much anger and so much bitterness, and they have a hard time forgiving people. And it's strange now, because you even talk to Christians now and they'll be in anger about this person and bitterness about this person. And you say, you know what, you're supposed to forgive them. And they say, they don't deserve to be forgiven. And you do? You're supposed to forgive them even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Do you know the worst person who's treated me in my entire life? And I don't even know who it is because I don't think about it. But I'm sure some people have treated me bad in my life. The person who's treated me the worst in my life hasn't done 1/100th of what I've done to God. 1/1000th. I mean, the Lord has forgiven me for everything I've ever done. He's washed me white as snow, and he's forgiven me. He doesn't hold grudges against me. And Lord says, if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. Judge not, lest you be judged. And he says, you know what? I'm going to treat you like you're treating those people. You won't let it go. Maybe I should not let it go with you. And he says, put that away and just forgive them. And even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You didn't deserve to be forgiven. And yet God forgave you. And God's very merciful in that. And I think we should do all these things. And the next verse kind of ties to it. Be therefore in these things followers of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ also loved us. In the same way, walk in love. Then I want to go back and you see these things we are supposed to put off and not live in malice and anger. But verse 29, it's really where I want to focus the message tonight. It says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. But that which is the good to the use of edifying, that which is good to the use of edifying, edifying means building up, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So there's two qualifications here for what we're supposed to let come out of our mouth. A lot of things might come into your mind, but it says, let these things not come out of your mouth. And it says a couple things. First of all, nothing corrupt. Do not let anything corrupt. Now, there's a lot of things that are corrupt. Swearing, hurting people, lying, evil things, off-color jokes. Nothing that's corrupt. Nothing that's vile. Nothing that's wrong. Let none of that proceed out of your mouth. None of it's supposed to come out of your mouth at all. Not any of it. And by the way, people are watching you once they know you're a Christian, and they watch everything you say, and they might cuss like a sailor, but you say one thing off-colored, and they're going to bring it up 3 years later. That's why you don't let one corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. It says, first of all, nothing is corrupt. Number two, do say that only that which is good to the use of building up. Only say things that are good to the use of growing up, to minister grace, favor. It makes it so the person feels like the grace of God and like grace is upon them, and they feel liked and loved and feel good. It says you're not supposed to say anything, but it's going to do something good for somebody. Now, occasionally something might have to be a little hard, a hard sermon or a rebuke of somebody, but that's to minister grace to them. It's to help them. If they're going out and doing something wrong, and God uses you, and you go correct them or rebuke them, or the preacher preaches a message and convicts them, and it changed their life, that's ministering grace to the hearer. That's helping them. You're not supposed to say anything that's not going to help somebody. You're never supposed to just say something just to tear somebody down. If I'm going to go rebuke somebody, I'm not doing it so I could make them feel bad and tear them up and rip their face off. I'm only going to do it if it's going to help them. By the way, that's what the Bible says. You don't rebuke a fool, because a fool cannot change. You never rebuke a fool. The Bible tells you not to. Why? Because you're not going to help them at all, and they're just going to hate you. So you don't rebuke a fool. The Bible commands you not to, because you're not going to minister any grace to them, so you're wasting your breath, and don't bother doing that. And we're supposed to go and only say things to help people. It's a strange thing. The Lord speaks of the power of the tongue as something much more powerful and vital than we do. It's a strange thing just how powerfully God speaks by the tongue. He says, by your words you're justified and by your words you're condemned. He says, you'll give an account of every idle word. Look at James chapter 3. Let me take you there. Go towards the end of your Bible in James chapter 3. The tongue is much more powerful and much more dangerous and much more wonderful and has a lot more power and control than we think. James chapter 3. It says, verse 2. For many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, that's what you say, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, you put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, are driven with fierce winds. Yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. So the shipmaster just turns a little tiny wheel, and the whole ship turns. And it compares that to the tongue. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a manner a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. Wow. This is strong language. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. That's sin. So is a tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. Whoa. That's not what I think of, and I think of the tongue. Set on fire of hell? A lot of strong language here. Verse 7, for every kind of beast and of bird and of serpent and of things of the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made out of the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Do you see the power of the tongue here? It's amazing. If you notice, first of all, it's the hardest thing to control. Verse 2. If any man offend not in word, he is a perfect man, and able to bridle the whole body. Verse 8, but the tongue can no man tame, and is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Bible says if you can control your tongue, you everything else is gravy. It's easy. If you can control your tongue, you control your mind, you can control your eyes, you can control your hands, you can control your ears, you can control everything in your entire body. You want to quit smoking? If you can control your tongue, you can quit doing that. You want to quit drinking? If you can control your tongue, you can quit drinking. And you want to quit looking lustfully? All you got to do is learn to control your tongue, because it's easier to do everything than control your tongue. And it says, if you can master this thing, then you can master your whole body. And we've got to realize that this thing is very powerful and very dangerous, and it's the hardest thing to control. Secondly, it can defile your entire body. Verse 3, we put bits in the horse's mouth, and they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, and are turned about with so small of a helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. If you look down, verse 6 says, the tongue is a fire, a word of iniquity. So is a tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. You very rarely find, this is a strange thing, but the Bible says it, so it's true. It says, your tongue defiles your whole body. That's why you very rarely find a person with a foul mouth and a good morality. You very rarely find a person who is a good family person and a clean living person and doesn't drink and doesn't do all kinds of bad things and doesn't commit immorality and watch bad things and listen to bad things who just has a problem with cussing. For some reason, your tongue defiles your whole body when it's bad. So if you can't control that tongue, you're in big trouble. And why is it, we're going to get into it in a minute, but why is it that we think the only thing about the tongue is cussing? Do you know that's the least thing the Bible says about your tongue? Matter of fact, I challenge you to find me the verse that says, thou shalt not cuss. Now, don't do it. Don't get excited about that. You shouldn't cuss. But you know what? We worry about the things that the Lord worries about the least. It's not the thing that God warns the most about in His Word with your tongue is swearing and cussing. Very few people could name one verse that says against that, although we aren't supposed to do that. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. However, the more dangerous things are not necessarily cussing, though that's what we consider a good Christian or a bad Christian. Do you cuss or do you not cuss? Okay, you control your tongue. There's much more than that. And the Bible talks a lot more about that, and we'll get to that in a moment. Number 3, your tongue can bless and curse things. We saw that. Out of verse 10, out of the same mouth proceeded blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. It's amazing. The Bible says your tongue can lead to salvation. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, that thou shalt be saved. By your words you're justified, by your words you're condemned. Your tongue is amazing in power. It can control your whole body. It can defile you. It is an incredibly powerful thing, and we're supposed to control it to the extent that nothing comes out of it except for that which is going to edify somebody, and nothing that's corrupt at all. It's very important we get our tongue down. Your words can bring death or life. Let me take you to Proverbs, and we'll spend most of the time in Proverbs. There's a great power in the tongue, not just in James, but other spots in the Bible. Let me take you to Proverbs chapter 18. I believe many good Christians, what we call good Christians, are messing up on the most powerful thing and the most dangerous thing to mess up on, their tongue. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof, for good or for bad. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life. That's a lot of power. You see Jesus using his tongue for amazing things in the Bible. There are panicked in a storm, and he walks out, and what a beautiful thing he says. Hey, he says, be not afraid, be of good cheer, it is I. Be of good cheer, it's going to be fine. Be not afraid in the middle of darkness. Your tongue is something that can cheer people up. It can keep people from killing themselves. Or your tongue can be what's used to make somebody commit suicide. And both have been done many a times. Your tongue can encourage someone to be happy and feel like they're worth something. Your tongue can make somebody feel worthless and feel like they have no hope in life. Your tongue can drive somebody away from God, or it can bring somebody to God. That's very true. Many people have been reached because someone had the right kind of tongue and loved them and spoke words of kindness. And some people will never come back to church, never come to Christ because of the way some Christian talked to them sometime. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. That little thing in your mouth, that thing's got a lot of power. You better be careful with that thing. And the Bible tells us to do that. Let me just give you a few things. First of all, on the good side, a good tongue is health to people. A lot of verses we can read. Proverbs chapter 12. A good tongue, if your tongue is right and you use it to edify people, as you read, it can help a lot of people. Proverbs in chapter 12. And just a few, there's a lot of verses in here about this, but verse 18. There is that speaketh like a piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. You know what the saddest thing is? Most of you didn't come up in a Christian home, and I didn't come up in a Christian home. You know, many of you in your very home, there were tongues that were like piercing swords. How many of you had tongues that stabbed at home and hurt and injured? How many had that at your homes? That's a terrible thing when you feel that. And tongues like piercing swords. But it says the right kind of tongue is the tongue of the wise is health. It's health. Proverbs chapter 15. And verse 4. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. But perverseness therein, in your tongue, is the breach of the spirit. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. You know, you can do this so many times in the bus ministry and so many rough houses and rough kids and over the years. Amazed the difference kind words can make to a broken child. It is amazing. You just grab that little kid who feels like they're worthless and feel like nobody loves them and feels like their parents hate them because they told them that and told them they're worthless. And you sit that kid in your lap or you stand him in front of you, look him in the eye and say, you are important and God has a plan for you and I love you. You're shocked. They melt. Your one little word undoes years of damage from their parents. It's an amazing thing if you can learn to use your words good. Learn to praise people. Oh, I don't praise people, only praise God. Jesus praised people all the time. I have not found so great in that faith, not in all Israel. Look at that woman who gave those coins. Wow! Read Romans 16, or Paul talked about those who helped him in the ministry. Say things to people that edify them. Say, you know, I sure appreciate you doing that. You blessed me when you said that. Man, that was a great job. Oh, when you said that to me, that blessed me. Thank you so much for doing that. That was God is using you. You know, words like that encourage people. Did you know most people don't say anything about what you did unless it's wrong? Unless it's wrong? Most people love to tell you what you did wrong. Very few people will say thank you for doing what you did. And you know what? The words of the wise can be health to people's bones. It can mean so much to them. And you've got to learn that you can. By the way, I grew up in a very harsh home, in a home that didn't say I love you, in a home that wasn't affectionate. And so it was very hard for me to change my language to say things nicely. If you're used to saying things mean, everything comes out mean. I love you, all right? That's just kind of how you learn to say things. And you say things kind of harsh, and you say things kind of mean. You just kind of do that. And you know what? You've got to learn to say things kindly. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. And learn to say things that make people feel important and make them feel like God loves them and makes them feel like they have that God wants to be with them and God wants to use them. Use John 3:16. Use God's word and say things that are kind and sweet. You'd be surprised how people melt. how the Bible says a soft word breaketh the bones. And that's in a good sense in that verse where it says you can break through and get what you want done and make a great accomplishment and break hard hearts when you know how to say the right kind of words. Proverbs 25:11. Again, we're just showing you how the tongue can do great things and good things. And I just want to ask you tonight, how much is your tongue helping people? How much is your words health to people? How much is your words health to people? Proverbs 25:11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. It's beautiful, and it's meaningful, and it's a work of art. Again, your words should be kind and sweet. So we see the good words, so the tongue is health to people, and it's a positive thing, it's a good thing. Secondly, though, we see a bad tongue has a power of death and destruction. A bad tongue has a power of death and destruction. Again, in Proverbs, let me take you to Proverbs 16:28. Let me just give you some things. What kind of bad tongues are there in the Bible? Bad tongues. Tongues are kind of cute. Me and Brookie were sitting looking at Rhonda tonight, and she was in this sticking her tongue out mode. The one-year-old, looking, sticking her tongue out. And Brookie just loves Rhonda. She's got the cutest little tongue. And tongues are kind of cute little things until they turn bad. And we want to have tongues that are positive and tongues that are good, because when they are bad, they start to be damaging. And the first kind of bad tongue we can have is a whisperer. Proverbs 16:28. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. I think that's so fascinating that God defines a person as a whisperer. And I've known some whisperers over my days. A whisperer is a person who goes over here and he says, and you know what the funny thing about a whisperer is? I just got him to hate him. You know what else I do? And he hates you. And the whisperer, the cowardly person who just goes behind everybody's back and sneaks around and whispers things. And by the way, most every family, I'm not talking about wife and husband and kids, but every big family, you got a whisperer somewhere who's always causing problems. There's a cousin, there's an uncle, there's an aunt, there's a grandma, there's a mother-in-law. It's usually the mother-in-laws. That's the problem in this world. It's usually the mother-in-laws. But there is a person who's a whisperer, and all of a sudden it gets back to you that so-and-so is saying this about you. And the whisperer separateth the closest of friends. If you are afraid of everybody hearing you say it, then don't say it. Don't be a whisperer. That's a bad tongue. And it separated the chief of friends. And it's a terrible thing. It's made many members whose life were being changed in a good church begin to, that member whose life was being changed, begin to not like the preacher and not listen to the messages or hate another person in church. And pretty soon, you win. You got them to hate the people in church. And guess what? They're not coming back. And they're going to the world and ruining their lives. Aren't you impressed with yourself, Mr. Whisperer or Mrs. Whisperer? You ruined a life, and probably their kids' is too. If you can't go say it in front of people, shush. Just shush. A whisperer separated very friends. Be a backbiter. A whisperer and then a backbiter. Proverbs chapter 15. I'm sorry, it's not actually Proverbs. Let me take you Proverbs 25. It's Psalms 15, but let me take you Proverbs 25. I don't think I'll take you to Psalms 15 in a sec. Wrote it right, said it wrong. Proverbs 25. Verse 23. The north wind driveth away rain, so doth an angry countenance a backbiting tongue. That's strange here. Again, sometimes I read the Bible and I say, that doesn't seem like the way to do it. But you know what the Bible says to do when a person is backbiting? What is backbiting? Just what it sounds like. I'm standing here this way, and somebody's behind my back biting me. That's a backbiter. There's someone who comes out and goes and backs and talks about somebody behind their back and criticizes them behind their back and doesn't talk to them. The Bible says in Matthew 18, you got a problem with your brother, go to him. Go to him. Don't go and backbite people. If I have a problem with Matthew, I'll go to Matthew. I don't need to go and talk to Ron about Matthew. Matter of fact, let me talk about a few. No, but if I get a problem with somebody, I'm supposed to go to them directly. A backbiter is a cowardly person who goes to the people and gnaws on someone else's back when they're not there because they're too cowardly to go talk to them. A backbiter, it says, is a bad thing. And the Bible says what you're supposed to do with a backbiter, it says give them a dirty look. That's what it says to do. So, let's practice. Just like, come on up here. Tell me evil, wicked things about Matthew, how that he kicks puppies and cats and all that stuff. Okay, start telling me stuff.
Well, he kicks puppies and his dog's really mean.
Angry look. I don't want to hear about it. Then he gives him a dirty look, and it says it drives it away. They get the hint. Okay, ready? Practice your dirty look. Ready? Give me it. Oh, that's not, that's you smiling still. No, that's not good enough. That's a funny look. You look like you just ate one of those little kids' sour candy. I mean a mean look. Okay, ready? I'm going to tell you bad things about Travis. Ready? Travis goes out, and he loves to steal old ladies' purses. You're not giving me a mean look. There you go. That's better. Okay, stop. And I'm the cloud who floats away. And you know what? That's what you're supposed to do. Give him a dirty look. That's what it says right there. It says an angry countenance drives away a backbiting tongue. As the north wind drives away rain, so does the angry countenance a backbiting tongue. Well, I don't want to make them feel bad. They need to realize it's wrong. It's wrong to backbite. And then we'll go to Psalms. But keep your finger in Proverbs. We'll be in Proverbs a lot. Psalms 15. If we would have a bunch of people who would give dirty looks to the backbiters of tongues, so many churches wouldn't have problems. We don't have that big a problem with it. But boy, there's gossips all over churches and backbiters and things. Proverbs 15, it's talking about who shall abide in God's presence in verse 1. Verse 3, he that backbiteth not with his tongue. There's a lot of verses in the New Testament about backbiters. Romans chapter 1, verse 30, 2 Corinthians talks about it. Backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, and those who backbite is another problem. Those who backbite. See, a talebearer. Proverbs again. Bad tongues are a whisperer, a backbiter, and a talebearer. Proverbs chapter 11. Verse 13. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Are you a talebearer or a concealer? That's what you want to ask yourself tonight. Are you a talebearer or a concealer? A good person, the Bible says, takes a story and hides it. That's very important. Be able to hide stories about people. Somebody could gossip to me, and I might not stop them before they get it out, but I don't need to tell anybody else. It can just stop with me. And it's so easy to go. Now, some of you are going, man, I'm an introvert. I don't want to talk to anybody about anything. What are you talking about here? But that's unusual. Most people like to pass it on. I don't know why it's fun for people to go and tell a story about this person, but you know what? Just let things stop with you. Let things end with you. Let you be the end of the road. You don't need to tell every person everything that happened to everybody. Chapter 20 of Proverbs, just a few verses here. Chapter 20, verse 19. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Proverbs 26. And verse 20, where no wood is, the fire goeth out, so where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contending man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down to the innermost part of the belly. It's very dangerous to be a talebearer. What is that? Basically this. This is a story about somebody. Okay? And along comes somebody, and I hand it off. So I walk over to Travis here, and I've got a story, and I've got me a story about Brian. And I'm going to take my story about Brian, and I hand it to Travis. Now, Travis now has it. First of all, yeah, that's what wives are for. And that joke, the greatest three forms of communication ever made. The first one was telegraph, and then was television, and then the greatest one was telewoman. And he hands it to him. Now, Travis has a choice of which what he does with that thing. He can take that, and he can be a tale bearer. So go ahead and get up, Travis. Now he is carrying the story, and who do you want to give it to? He gives it to Matthew. Get back up. You can take it another one. Take the story again. You've got it to a whole bunch of people. You can take it anybody you want. See, Dave's a gossip. He took it right away. And so you can take it to anybody you want to take it to. You can just go walk around and just carry that story around. You know what a wise person does? He gets a story. Not him. This guy's not wise. Don't tell a preacher. And so he gets a story, and a wise person takes a story and says, "Oh, man, that's awful." And they hide it. It is amazing how sometimes you think something's funny to somebody else, and the person who's the center of the story, it's not funny to them. And we all laugh because it was funny, but pretty soon we carry the tale around. And the person, I remember I was in Mexico, and I was sitting in one room, and that was when my Spanish was at my best. And I was down in Mexico, and I was talking to a guy who was working with the missionary I was with. And I was having a good conversation. We're alone in the room, we're talking. He didn't speak a lick of English, and I was talking back and forth, and I was understanding the conversation, and we were talking back and forth. And what I got from him was, I was asking what he wanted to do with his life, and what he answered me, I thought, was, "I want to do anything God wants me to do as long as there's good weather there." Now, I thought, that's hilarious. I want to do anything God wants me to do as long as there's good weather there. And I thought, that's pretty funny. And so the missionary comes and he says, "What were you guys talking about?" I said, "I think he told me that he wants to go anywhere God wants him to go as long as there's good weather there, because he doesn't like bad weather." That's kind of funny, you know, "Lord, send me anywhere, only good weather." And so I thought it was kind of funny and stuff. And I said, "I think he told me that." He goes, "He didn't say that." I said, "I think he did." He says, "You didn't understand him right." So we go in there and we're at the table, and pretty soon the missionary, they're all yakking and talking back and forth. And he goes, and so he says, "I'm going to ask him if he said what you thought he said." And he says, "Da da 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 da." And the guy says, "See?" He says, "Da da 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 da." He says, "See?" Missionary slaps the table. "Ah, it's hilarious! Ah ha ha!" He said he wants to go anywhere as long as the weather's good. That is hilarious. I mean, like, "Lord, send me anywhere. The Bahamas are calling." And he thought that was hilarious. And the other assistant pastor started laughing his head off at this. For the next 2 days, we were hanging around these guys, and it was all a joke about, you know, "Hey, where's your umbrella?" And, you know, I mean, everything was just a joke about this guy. But he was smiling, but he wasn't smiling on the inside. You ever done that? You take a joke too far, and somebody else realizes it. They don't think it's funny anymore. And we just were laughing. It was funny. And sometimes when you go and you take something and you carry things around, and every bit of information, and when a church is all wrong, everybody hears everything that happened to everybody. Listen, I'm so glad our church isn't like that, because you would think, you wouldn't know the stuff happens in a week in our church. Man, we got all new converts and we get all new people. This week, how many police departments did I contact? 3 police departments I contacted this week. Worked on turning somebody else in, called 2 different mental health clinics. I called the arson and bomb squad this week. You know how many weird things I deal with in a week? And that's just the front row here. I'm not exaggerating. Front row I am. But the rest of it, I'm not exaggerating. I dealt with that this week. I was talking to the bomb and fire squad of Seattle. People have issues, folks. And you don't know to know that person sitting next to you has 3 bodies in his trunk. This is the Northwest. You don't need to know every single thing that everybody does. Some of you have some pretty serious addictions. And some of you had pretty bad pasts. And you know what? You just need to let somebody walk up to you in church and say, "I'm sure I'm glad you're here. Man, I love you. Man, it's great to see you. Let me deal with all the baggage. I can counsel them." But you know what? If everybody in the church knows they just got divorced last week and they beat up their wife, and everybody in church says, "I heard you beat up your wife," you think they're coming back Sunday night? You got to realize everybody doesn't have to know every single thing that goes along, and everybody doesn't have to carry every single story. And we got to realize that our tongues should not be tale-bearing tongues. Let me say this, however, there is a time when somebody has to know. If all of a sudden somebody comes up and says, all of a sudden, Josiah drives down the road, and he's, that'd be scary enough, but Josiah's driving the road, and he sees Matthew on the side of the road stealing an old lady's purse. Learned from Travis. And he's robbing old ladies and beating them and taking their money. And he's a Sunday school teacher. I need to know that. I come to Matthew and said, "Have you been stealing old ladies' purses? You have not tithed off that." I need to know that because I'm going to make sure he tithes. And how much you give to that old lady? But I need to know that. I need to know that he stole from that old lady. I need to know that because, you know what? He might not be teaching kids in Sunday school anymore. So you're not a gossip if you come and tell me that, because gossip is a tale bearer that has no purpose, but there is a purpose sometimes. If I'm driving down the road and all of a sudden I see Paul down here smoking cigarettes with Val and chewing tobacco. That's right. Daddy needs to know. That's not gossiping. And he needs to know that they got it from their mom. But they need to know. That's not gossiping. I'm not gossiping to Dave about that. He already knows. But I'm not gossiping to Dave about that because he needs to know that. You're not gossiping to me if you tell me, "Pastor, this is happening." Now, there's the people who go tell you, "Hey, you know what so-and-so did?" That's what I'm talking about. It's people involved who need to know. Who need to know. And there is a time to tell people, and there's people who need to know, but when you're just carrying stories around, you're going to damage people and you're going to destroy people. And it's going to cause a lot of problems, and you're going to hurt people. And people, you know what? It's a strange thing. When I knock on doors and witness to people, the most common way they got hurt in church, and say, "I don't want to go back to church. I used to go to church." The most common thing that they ever got hurt from wasn't the preacher falling, and it wasn't somebody did something evil, and the number one thing was there was a bunch of gossip going around and stories going around about them or about somebody else in church, and they get tired of the gossip. And woe unto the church when unsaved people are saying that. And why would you want to go to church when you're just going to be getting talked about and gossiped about? Just hush. If I need to know, come tell me. Okay? Probably nobody else needs to know unless it's their direct family member. And don't be a talebearer. Let things stop with you. Don't go. And if you don't know if you should say it, just don't say it. There's also a lying tongue. And there's many verses we could read on that. And because of time, we won't read a ton of verses on that. But Proverbs chapter 21, a lying tongue. Proverbs 21. Verse 6, and of course there's a lot of verses online. "The getting of treasure by a lying tongue is vanity, tossed to and fro of them that seek death." And you shouldn't go and use a lying tongue. Well, Pastor, if it's... Okay, so the two qualifications are, one, it is not corrupt, and number two, it's only going to minister grace. That doesn't leave me a lot to say. Well, a couple things about this. Not all joking is wrong, like the jokes I told tonight, okay? I revealed the truth about Paul and Val, but otherwise, nothing I did was wrong here. But you know what? Sometimes a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. I can crack a joke. For example, Brian, come on up here. So Brian, when I met him, Brian was an in-shape... soldier. And then he got called to the ministry. And we make more jokes about how fat Baptist preachers are. It's soul winning lunch, prayer breakfast, and everything else. And they eat too much. And Brian, as we joked about that, I'd say, "You're not a preacher, you're too skinny." But Brian became much more of a well-rounded Christian. And Brian gained a few pounds. And he loves it. Every time I joke about it, he laughs. And so we joke about fat preachers. Now, the ungodly preachers, the Bible says the righteous shall be made fat. So there's skinny people called to ministry, and they're just wicked. But they're missionaries. And missionaries can stay skinny because they're going to the field. Doesn't matter. But we joke around about that. And I don't really think it'd be fat to be a spiritual preacher. It's probably the opposite. But I can joke around with him about being fat because he thinks it's very funny. And he's not... That's right, and he's not real sensitive about that. But you know what? I don't just assume everybody's like that. Fat jokes don't go over all the time. So you can go sit down if you can make it there. And so I can make jokes about that, but that is very carefully when you joke, knowing who you're joking with. You ever joke with somebody they didn't think it was funny? How many have never done that? We all do that a lot. And we got to be very careful about that, because you can do things like that, but everywhere you go, you got to realize life and death are in the power of the tongue. Some of my kids, like when I pick on them, they like it. And some of my kids don't like when I pick on them. You got to be careful with people. You be very sensitive to people and very careful. And you know what? There's nothing wrong if you say that limits so much. That limits so much what I can say and can't say. You know what? There's nothing wrong with that, because we say too much. Bible says, he that refraineth his tongue is wise. In a multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. Look at Proverbs chapter 15. So sometimes I cheer somebody up with a joke, and sometimes we can laugh in church. That's fine. But if you just joke too much, and you're funny all the time, and goofy, and saying all kinds of things, and you say too much, there's a lot of sin in there. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 2, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of the fools poureth out foolishness. Proverbs chapter 17, in verse 27, he that hath knowledge spareth his words, makes a limit to him, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. You don't have to always talk, say something, gab, yak. You don't have to do that all the time. You should be limited in your words, because there's so much danger and so much damage. It's a minefield that you lay for people. And you got to be careful. And the whole message is this, folks. We talked about not grieving the Spirit, and that's all important. And we talked about putting on the new man, and we talked about all those things in Ephesians 4 that we should do, and how we should not have malice and all those things. But can I say tonight, your tongue can really help somebody. And you see how little this is about just cussing and not cussing? It's about using your tongue to really benefit people. Hey, soul winning is using your tongue to help people. Your tongue ought to be witnessing to people all the time. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth. All the time. You should always be witnessing, always sharing the word of God, always speaking a kind word, always being nice, instead of the grumpy guy that we get to be so often, and are snapping at the cashier, and snapping at the person next to us, and snapping at everybody else. We get too much, or we're just cranky and grumpy, and aren't using our mouth to good things. And those of you who say, I don't struggle with this, I don't tell gossip, I don't carry stories, I'm quiet all the time. You also seem like you're cranky, because you never say anything good. He that hath friends must first show himself friendly. And that's bad too. Your tongue should not only not be doing bad, but it should also be doing good for the cause of Christ and to help and benefit people. Take that needy kid in your neighborhood and tell them they're valuable and God loves them. Go find somebody and tell them that's great. Come tell me, Pastor Barham, that was an amazing, wonderful message, and here's $20. And go and use your tongue and your money and for good things, and use your abilities, and make sure you're helping people. All the time, your tongue, if you can learn to control that little thing, you can control your whole body, or you can be set on fires of hell and your whole body defiled through the tongue. It's your choice. It's got to fight. You got to fight it, though. Can I ask you tonight, is not only you not gossiping and sharing stories, and boy, I'm telling you, this is not just for weak, bad Christians who cuss. There is a huge problem with preachers and gossip. There is gossip and there is tale-bearing of all kinds of good Christians, bad Christians. Can you just be the end of the story for everybody? Can you just be quiet, and can you take that tongue and edify somebody tonight and tomorrow and all week long? And everybody at work starts saying, man, why have you been so nice and cheerful and kind? You'll have a good testimony if you do that this week at work. Use your tongue for good, not for evil. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord, and this, I believe, is what you had us preach tonight. It wasn't some cute sermon, but just a lot about, Father, let no corrupt communication proceed out of our mouth. And Lord, it's easy for us to not be a foul-mouthed, cussing sailor, messing up, criticizing, gossiping. Lord, but are we using our tongue for good? Are we a tail-bearer? Are we a backbiter? Are we a whisperer, Father? Lord, if there's something that we're not doing good with our tongue, and Lord, if we're just having the absence of really using our tongue for good things, Lord, I know some quiet people in here that could even do good with their tongue, Lord, and some people, others who can do not bad with her tongue, Father. Whatever it is, Lord, we've got to get a control of this thing, and it's hard to control. I pray tonight, Lord, that as you spoke to us, as we, Lord, I believe we said exactly what your word said and read the verses you had us. I pray if we're even grieving the spirit, Lord, or we're having it full of malice or anything else you spoke to us tonight, I pray we'd respond. Father, I pray we'd be right with you, Lord.